Ja. Very good. So, okay. Gopidana Vallava Giri Varadhani Yasodana Nana Brajadana Randana Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Randana Tamuna Tiravana Sadi Samunati Ravana Dari Deyadadha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Nidaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopidana Vallava Giri Varadhari Gopidana Vallava Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Randana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Randana Yamuna Tiravana Dari Yamuna Tiravana Sadi Nidaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Kunya Vihari Deya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Jaya Gaura Nithai Gaura Nithai Gaura Nithai Gaura Nithai Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnubhad Paramahang Savarabhraja Gacharya Ashtato Satasi Simat Hestivain Grey Sila Abhaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna During this winter camp, we will be meeting during the morning hours and in the afternoon to discuss the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas. These shlokas are actually offering us a path of meditation in Krishna consciousness. See, the whole point of Krishna consciousness is really to absorb our mind. Krishna consciousness is also called bhakti yoga, and it means we want to absorb our mind in Krishna through the process of bhakti, or loving devotion. There are other processes of yoga, ashtanga yoga and jnana yoga, where the follower of the yoga process begins to detach his mind by certain yogic exercises and connected with the higher reality of the spiritual existence, Brahman. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking Krishna, which one of the two processes is better? The path of Jnana Yoga or the path of Bhakti Yoga? And Lord Krishna says that both processes bring us to the goal of absorbing our mind, but Bhakti is easier because it engages the mind, whereas in Jnana Yoga we just detach ourselves from the mind ultimately, and this is very difficult. So this absorbing the mind is really the essence of Krishna consciousness. You can see a devotee not by any external criteriums like dress or frisura or even language. You can see a devotee or understand who is a devotee by how much he thinks of Krishna really and is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gives us a verse which tells us how absorption of the mind or memorizing Krishna is really the essence of following all the 64 items of regulated devotional service. He says, Smatavya satatam Vishnu Vismatavyo nayatujit, that to constantly think of Krishna, to always remember him and to not forget him, this is the goal of following all the rules and regulations. He says the other rules which are there, like rising early, for instance, for the Brahma Muhurta, to greet the Lord on the altar and so on, these other rules, he says, are only servants to this principle. Rupa Goswami has written about this also at another place in his famous Nectar of Instruction. You must know a little of the history of the Nectar of Instruction to really appreciate the instructions. It was just briefly before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet that he went one day to the beach of Puri. He sat in the sand and he was in a very specific mood. You know, he was just about to leave the planet, and when he looked at the trees on the coast, he remembered the forest of Vrindavan. That's the eternal residence of Lord Krishna. That is his eternal home. And when he looked in front of him into the ocean and saw the bluish water of the ocean, he remembered the river Yamuna in Vrindavan, and he became very much absorbed in the transcendental, his transcendental pastime place, Vrindavan. He went into a mood of being only half conscious of his environment, and he began to speak. He spoke all of his instructions, whatever he has had come to teach. He spoke that in a brief form. He, so to say, said in a brief form what's important in Krishna consciousness. It's very interesting. I think you can all sympathize with what must have been a very, very important moment. The Lord was just about to leave, and he said, what is the most important of his instructions? Very, very important instructions. So Rupa Goswami was present at that time, and when he heard the Lord giving a summary of his teachings, he immediately wrote it down, And later, he took these notes and composed this little booklet. It is called The Nectar of Instruction. When Srila Prabhupada translated this, he wrote a letter to his publishers, the Bhaktivedanta book publisher. He said, immediately 100,000 volumes should be printed of this, which was a large edition at that time, in the early time. I see here. This book is in its sixth printing, 200,000 copies, and 330,000 copies had been printed before. So this is a very, very important book for the Krishna consciousness movement, and because it is really taking all the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into 11 instructions. Now, of all these 11 instructions, text 8 goes to the most essential advice, and I want to read this to you. Are you interested in the... This is the essence of the essence. Are you ready, Bhakta Boyan? It might change your whole life. Okay. He's ready. Tannama rupa charita di sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishtan brajetat anuragi jananugami kalam nayat akilamit yupadesha saram. Upadesha saram means the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time 24 hours a day for traj. Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. I read it wrongly. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time 24 hours a day to become nicely situated and do a little devotional service. Oh, sorry. It is I'm voicing what is in the air, but not what is in the book. So okay, third time. Now we must really concentrate. Please don't influence me now. I want to read what is in the book. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time to cook nice prasadam, eat it and distribute it. It doesn't sound proper. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time 24 hours a day in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name. I'm reading it. Don't be worried. This is the real thing now. One should chant and remember the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Let us just pause for a moment and just go through this essence. It was said that one should engage one's tongue and mind. First, one just talks about it, but later one begins to also think deeply about it, remember it, meditate about it. These are the Lord's divine name, which one should chant with the tongue, and then put it in the mind. We should remember it. It shouldn't be just a lip service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And our mind is with the next engagement which we have to do in this world. No, no. We should chant with the tongue and remember with the mind the Lord's name, form, qualities, like for instance how he is merciful, and eternal pastimes. Then another instruction is given. The place where we should do this is described. One should reside, it's interesting, in Vrindavan. And then we hear of our role models, which we should follow in this process. See, in this world, people have different role models. Teenagers like to follow different musical stars, and maybe young men feel attracted to certain football players, and maybe the elderly generation is interested in politics and newspapers and follows politicians. Like there was a very well-known politician, Mr. Havel, I think Havel was his name, from Czech Republic. And Willy Brandt, they follow a lot Willy Brandt in Germany. Many follow, that's a dramatic thing, many follow still Hitler and his thoughts. And in Serbia we have a few Milosevic fans still. This is, people look for role models whom they can follow. Bruce Lee. Maybe bodybuilder. And so people have their role models in this world, and they follow. But we, as spiritualists, we should also have role models. Do you remember the role models? It's the people of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, who serve Krishna with love and affection. Now, Prabhupada, this is the essence of advice. 3 points. We should use our full-time hearing and chanting. We should follow the examples of the residents of Vrindavan. No, we should reside in Vrindavan, and we should follow the residents of Vrindavan. Now, you will be happy to hear that the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, which we will be diving in a little while, will give us instructions how to do these three things. How to chant properly, how to stay in Vrindavan in a meditative way, and how to follow the devotees of Vrindavan. Prabhupada writes a little bit about the this point of absorption in the purport to text 8. He says, the Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. And then he says that to train the mind is important. Who can give us and help us? Why is it so important to train the mind, who has so many material impressions and stays usually in material life? Any idea? Because most of the devotees don't think of training the mind. This is never in their thought. They have other things to do, like doing their services and maybe finishing their school and so on. And some maybe settling themselves in their ashram. But training the mind? Ooh. Why could this be important to train the mind? If we don't do it, we are easily influenced by Maya. Easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where the mind is, there the heart goes.
Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says that devotee means mind.
Devotee means mind. So if you don't have a spiritual mind, a devotee mind, you are not really a devotee. Mm-hmm.
If we don't train our mind, then our intelligence cannot be fixed.
If our mind is not trained, our intelligence is not fixed. Mm-hmm.
If we train our mind, we can easily chant our rounds.
When our mind is trained, it's easy to chant our rounds. Mm-hmm. When we have spiritual conceptions, then at the moment of death we will think of spiritual things and have a spiritual life. It's interesting that what Bhakta Sala says is a point which Prabhupada develops in the purport. He says, Prabhupada talks about the biggest examination of our lives, it's death. He says, whatever state of being one remembers, when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. At the time of death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, it means favorable, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Who of you sometimes thinks of going back home, back to Godhead? Honestly. You wish to go there, or is it something you are afraid of? Why are you asking? We are supposed to go back to Godhead. No. It means it will change your whole life. There will be not so many things which you are accustomed to hear. Well, we belong home. We are parts of that spiritual kingdom. We are not meant to die and experience all these sufferings and so on. And we should try to make our life successful by leaving the world of birth and death and going back home. It's very important. You should be enthusiastic about this concept of using your life as a preparation to go back home, back to Godhead. This is something which should be very much in your heart. And the examination, if you will be allowed to go there or stay here, will be at the time of your death, when you will have to be able to be absorbed in Krishna. When you have practiced your spiritual life properly, that means if you have learned to absorb your mind in Krishna during this life, you will, during the disturbing processes of death, you know, when everything goes and is taken violently away from you, your senses, your beloved neighboring friends and so on, everything you have to leave, when you are at that time fixed in the transcendental world, And fixed means really fixed. That is, you're not diverted in any way. You can actually go back home, back to Godhead. So train the mind is very important. Otherwise, one will not be able to pass the examination at this very important way. Now, how can we train the mind? The way to train the mind is to follow the regulative principles, and here it's not the four regulative principles which we all are aware and which we promise at the time of our initiation. It is doing spiritual principles like chanting and hearing about Krishna's and his name, his form, quality, pastimes, and so forth. May I ask to open the window, because now it's becoming very nice and warm, and we want to see that we want to have enough air to breathe so that we can follow this class with full concentration. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has said that in this way, after you have developed a taste for such things as Krishna, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instructions regarding the cultivation of devotional service. I do not know if you have ever done such a thing as to live in Vrindavan for a month or so, but my dear devotees, if you do this, to stay there and just chant about Krishna and remember Krishna, it's very interesting what happens to the mind. At such a time, you look at your life in the West and you ask yourself, what am I doing there? You begin to really feel so much taste just chanting about Krishna and remembering Krishna's qualities, and you read a Krishna book and everything is so real. Then when you look at the life in the West, which is full of worries and constant passionate endeavors to gain something, you know, you get serious doubts if this is the life which you want to live. It is because you have such an okust, such a taste, higher taste, and you really feel extremely happy. See, it's the function of us, it's a natural for us to feel attracted to Krishna. It's very unnatural to not feel attracted to Krishna and live a life where you have so many, where you are either empty or nothing is going on. Once there was a guru who asked his disciples, is the chair on which I'm sitting empty or full? Imagine, Sasha, I would ask you, is this chair empty or is it full? You would most probably not say immediately it's full, because it's so obvious that it's full. You know, something is in my mind to ask such a question. Then the guru said, if I am empty, the chair is empty. If my heart is full, the chair is full. It's occupied. I think most of the people in the West sit on empty chairs, because inside of them, they are so empty. There is no Lubov. There is no God inside the heart. There are only worries and material plans and frustrations and so on. Let me read you a text on which Prabhupada on from the Bhagavatam. If you want to read it in your private reading time, it's really wonderful. It's the 7th canto, chapter 5, text 14. Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his teachers why he's behaving so impossibly. You know, what he did is whenever the teachers went out of the classroom, then Prahlad went in front of his classmates and started to talk about Krishna, and his little presentation, he ended with a roaring kirtan. I think of Bhakti Iseta, if your children would do it, you would be happy and join the kirtan most properly. But these two teachers were not they were not a devotee. They were very disturbed. The Sanda and Amaka were the top brainwashers in the modern in the educational institution of Hiranyakashipu. So they asked him, how is it that you're doing all this? Do you want to know Prahlad's answer? It's a very beautiful answer. He said, oh teachers, let us kids free. Let us kids alone. Oh teachers, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically toward the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, Krishna's will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus I have no independence. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport to this, which I want to read to you in an example. He says, for iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. You know, when there's a magnet and you go like whoop, and the iron is there, as you say, naturalni. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted toward Krishna is so natural. And therefore the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. Yes. It is natural. We are meant to be attracted to Krishna. Our minds are meant to think of Krishna in love and affection. And if we are not, then we are empty inside. I think we all know this. We as devotees, we know how nice it is when we can be in Krishna conscious. Isn't it, Mahaprabhu? How nice one feels. And how the whole world looks nice. And everything, very nice things happen because it seems Krishna is arranging it. We all know how it feels when we are so empty, like chewed out chewing gum. And there is no taste any longer for Krishna in us. We know, we feel homeless in this world, and desperate even. So the way to become attracted to Krishna is given in this purport. You should chant, you should stay in Vrindavan, and you should follow the examples of devotees who serve Lord Krishna. Now, immediately at this stage, a question comes up in the mind. Sachinandan Swami, please be very precise. Do you think we are meant to do this? I mean, I'm Bhakta Dionysus, Bhaktin Maya, and so on. How is it possible? Well, you are in the training process to become absorbed in Krishna. If you're properly absorbing your lessons, you will become more and more attracted to Krishna. First we chant 16 rounds every day without fail at a good time. And then we read about Krishna from the Bhagavatam. This is our training process. And as far as staying in Vrindavan, well, we visit Vrindavan sometimes, or like we will do in the evening, we will see a beautiful slide presentation of Vrindavan so that we become attracted. And then later, a time comes when we are naturally remembering Vrindavan. Like Rupa Goswami says, when you can't stay in Vrindavan, in your mind you will always stay. In your mind, you can stay at the bank of the Yamuna or in the forests of Vrindavan, and in this way be there. It's not so nice if you chant and you think of Hamburg or Sarajevo. So one is so disturbed when one thinks of these places. But at least when you do japa, you can think, I'm sitting here in Vrindavan in my mind. This evening we will do a few authorized meditational practices which will show us a little bit how to do this. Yes. And then more and more we will become absorbed so that ultimately at the end there's nothing else than Krishna. As I look at my Bosnian audience, I must tell you, I'm feeling so enthusiastic because I know many of you have thought about these things already in their own way, and in this way it is very nice. Once Prabhupada was, I think we are all convinced about the first place, first thing to chant the holy names. We are doing it. I've seen many of you completing their 16 rounds today already. But we might not think so much about Vrindavan. Once Prabhupada was asked, why is Vrindavan important for a devotee? I remember I was also thinking at a certain stage in my devotional service, why go to Vrindavan? I mean, finally I went, and I must tell you what I was thinking about in Vrindavan. I was only thinking about German bread, butter and cheese, which was not available. I had some disorder in the stomach and from this heavy spicing, and I was thinking, when I come back, I will only eat bread and butter and cheese. And I was not very Vrindavan, very spiritually conscious. I remember I was so conditioned that I only stayed in the room and talked trash with the other devotees until it became so utterly frustrating that I died to death while talking trash. I remember this very much. It was a very, I thought afterwards, what was the benefit of my going there? Later I found out why I had been so homeless in Vrindavan. It was because my mind was still so full of material thoughts that I just could not function in a place which was so different than what I was accustomed to. But I remember how I felt even after going back from Vrindavan to the West. When I was in the West, I could only think of Vrindavan. Oh no, what did I do? Next time I will do better. I think we all know who have been in Vrindavan. Next time it will be better. I will chant better. I will really make sure that I am not on the material platform on Vrindavan. And I remembered even then that I was thinking Vrindavan is something like an embassy from where you get your visa to go back in the spiritual world, so I should come there again. And later I remembered reading that Prabhupada had encouraged us to come to Vrindavan because he actually built a temple for us so that we could stay there. And he had said, if you go to Vrindavan, it gives you the impetus to go back home, back to Godhead. Let us see what is the word for impetus. It's an important word. Yes, postice. Mm-hmm. The postice comes. The impetus comes. You really feel in your heart an impetus. And Rupa Goswami says why this is so. He says in Vrindavan, there are two energies which work on your consciousness. One is Taraka. It cuts you or liberates you from material existence. And the second is Taraka. It pulls you lovingly towards Krishna. You think of Krishna. Even if you are a materialistic visitor, like there was this mother of Danoda Swami who wanted to kidnap him from Vrindavan to New York. And she woke up in the morning after 2 days, and she immediately called her son and said, "Sine, I hate to admit it, but when I woke up, I chanted Hare Krishna." It's a typical example of the potency of Vrindavan to attract you towards Krishna. It works. It's almost like when you put a stone under water, it will get wet. There is no hope for the stone to remain dry. So when someone comes to Vrindavan, he will contact in some ways these two energies, Taraka and Paraka, and he will be pulled to Krishna. Now, if you can't stay physically, for instance, I also stay only, I'm lucky if I can stay a few days in Vrindavan out of a year. It's not always possible. You can stay there in your mind because you can think of the Vrindavan life and Krishna consciousness, and you can stay there in your mind. Prabhupada used to say that his temples, if the devotees in the temples are serious and hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, are not really in the West. Do you remember? He often said, this temple is not in Paris, it's in the spiritual world. Why? If a person is in Krishna consciousness, he is in Vrindavan. He stays on the platform of Vrindavan. Vrindavan, in other words, you must understand, is not just a geographical place on the landscape. Vrindavan is a place of attraction to Krishna. You can be in Vrindavan even when you feel attracted to Krishna and you live outside of Vrindavan. Yes. And then the last point is follow devotees of Lord Krishna. There is a shloka in the Bhagavatam which says, every learned man knows that attachment to the material energy is the greatest corruption for the soul. When that same attachment, which you feel for cloth and what else is the material energy in the life of a cast maybe, and so on, if your same attachment is put to a self-realized devotee of the Lord, then this liberates the soul. Have you noticed this in your life? When you become attached to a pure soul, a pure devotee, something happens in your mind. You feel like, and you feel you move a little away from the material energy, and you feel very much that you move towards Krishna. Allow your mind to become attached to a pure devotee. That will guide you from the material platform to the spiritual platform. This same attachment, which has kept you in the material world for so long, when you put it to the devotee, will help you to rise on the spiritual platform. In the Srimad, we are in our lives as devotees of Krishna, we are trying to put our mind into Prabhupada's teachings, and if we have our spiritual master, we follow another, we follow that pure devotee who is our spiritual master, and in this way we feel how our life changes and comes to the spiritual platform. This following of a devotees can, however, also mean, and this is what we hear in this text, to follow a pure devotee in the spiritual world, like one follows in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. I'm reading to you. This is called Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, can be executed in the Shantarasa when one aspires to be like Krishna's cows, or the stick or flute in the hand of Krishna, or the flowers around Krishna's neck. That time a devotee thinks, oh, it would be so nice to be a flower around Krishna's neck. What a nice idea. Then I'm always with Krishna, and I can adore Lord Krishna. Wow. In the Dasya Rasa, one follows in the footsteps of servants like Chitraka, Patraka, or Raktaka. In the friendly Sakya Rasa, one can become a friend like Baladev, Shridam, or Sudam. In the Vatsalya Rasa, characterized by parental affection, one can become like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And in the Madhurya Rasa, characterized by conjugal love, one can become like Srimati Radharani or her lady friends, such as Lalita and her serving maids, like Rupa and Rati. This is the essence of all instruction in the matter of devotional service. At this moment, you might ask, but Sachinanda Swami, is your seminar a seminar on Raga Nuga Bhakti? We are not interested. This is forbidden. Our seminar is training us to remember Krishna, and it will be not done on a level which is beyond us, where we lack the purity and the understanding, and where we will invariably make offenses. No, our seminar will just explain to us that there is an area in Krishna consciousness which we should aspire for, and that is to remember Krishna always and not forget him. We will not do a systemized, seminar on the higher, on Raganuga Bhakti, which is not yet within our grasp. But we will learn from the scriptures and from the purpose of Srila Prabhupada how to think of Krishna. When we start thinking of Krishna in a very, let us say, realistic way, which is on our level possible, we will very soon experience how our mind will become very happy, healthy, and normal, and we will feel how this emptiness in the heart, which I was speaking about, goes away, and we will have some sweet feelings of gratitude for Krishna in our heart, and we will think, Krishna is wonderful. This is what the seminar will be about. I will now have one of my two pauses. Averted for these pauses, we do these pauses to stay active in our minds, because if we hear so long a lecture, after some time we get tired. This is natural. So we will always have pauses, but I want to request you to keep these pauses. That is, please come back in time after the pause. We will have our Bhakta Boyan. Do you have a wristwatch, Boyan? Good. He will have a gong, and he will make a sound with the gong. Please give me the gong. And then when you hear the sound, please immediately come, because we would have to wait for each one of you, and then we wouldn't be able to progress nicely in the seminar. The pause you can use by chanting your rounds or associating with devotees nicely. Let us make it a nice Krishna conscious atmosphere during the pause, and then please reserve this time, the 3 hours in the morning, to just hear about Krishna consciousness, the philosophy, and in this way, please don't be overly busy to make always phone calls and management talks and so on, so that you should try to stay on the level, so that after some time you will become really blissful and happy. At the end of this seminar, all your faces should be like bright, like suns, because the sun of Krishna has appeared in your heart, and you should be happy devotees. This is my goal. I'm here. I'm a professor of happiness. I want to make you happy in Krishna consciousness. This is my goal, so that you don't have to suffer the cold winter and the cold material society. So this is your signal. In 50 minutes, you will hear it again, and please come. Hare Krishna. Action, which we have heard to the Bhakti Rasayana, Shlokas made one very important point. The point is that in Krishna consciousness, really the idea is to absorb the mind more and more and more in Krishna. This is the... it's very, very important. Bhakti, Narottam Das Thakur says the body has one soul, and for the body to be alive, the soul must be present. So the mind also has a heart, and the heart of the mind is to remember Krishna and think of Krishna. I think it is a very nice point. Have you ever noticed in your lives how sometimes you feel restless and impatient, and you feel a little bit influenced by the material circumstances which are around you? And have you then noticed how you read a little bit in Srila Prabhupada's books, and you picked up a nice point which seemed to speak directly to you in your present situation? And have you noticed how when the mind got this new point, then the mind seemed to get a new life? Have you noticed this, Dionysus? Mm-hmm. Memory or remembrance is the life of the mind. It's called smarana in Sanskrit. Smarana is the life of the mind. And now, these Bhakti Rasayan shlokas, which we will hear in a moment, are bringing us in our mind to Vrindavan. We will hear about the excellent relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And if we remember this as often as possible, our mind will get spiritual life. Rasayana is a medicament which is given in Ayurveda, after a patient has been cured from the disease. So the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas are meant to give us life after we have been cured from the basic disease of material life. Attachment to illicit sex and meat eating and gambling and so on and so forth are basic forms of very gross attachments to this world. So when the devotee has made a little advancement and is no longer so much sick, at that time he needs to get the rasayana, something which helps his spiritual life to develop and become full of life. I think you all, or many of you, are older devotees. We have even a few brahmanas today here, and brahmanis also. I think you know by now that it's absolutely necessary for you to not just give up material life, but to feel the life of Krishna consciousness pulsating through your consciousness. I have just been in an Ayurvedic treatment and know about this rasayana. By the treatment, you become so utterly, all the toxins are flushed out of your body. Traditionally, you're bathed in oil for 2 hours a day and massaged. And then each day, the poisons accumulate in your intestines. And then a certain procedure, which I will not tell you here, is done so that everything gets out of your body every day. And then afterwards, you feel very pure. You look very thin. And very rejuvenated, and then they give you rasayanas, certain things which help you to become happy and healthy, and the body gets back to normal. So this rasayana of which we are now speaking is for those who have been freed from the disease, but who are still weak. In other words, they have Shraddha, like all of you. You have deep faith in Krishna consciousness, but they are not completely free from all the anattas of material life. See, how this state manifests, to have Shraddha, but at the same time to not be free from material life, is that while you're chanting, certain sankalpas and vikalpas come. It means you think of something and you reject something. Have you noticed when you chant how active the mind is, Dionysus? And you feel the material life is going, oh, Sarajevo, and this duty, and my girlfriend in Sarajevo, and all these things are very much present in the umski. Sankalpa and vikalpa. Therefore, this rasayana slokas are there, which help you to absorb your mind in positive Krishna consciousness. It's very important. Especially, now how to do this? Well, the normal method which devotees have done in the throughout the ages is they do their japa, and then while they do their japa, they pause and read one of the slokas of the Bhakti Rasayana slokas, and then go back to the japa, and while chanting and hearing, they naturally become absorbed in the subject matters which the shloka was talking about. And in this way, their mind will not go to material impressions all the time, but stay on the spiritual impressions. Yes. Now, I will tell you a little bit an overview of the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, and then we will go directly into the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. The first three verses of the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas are actually describing a journey from the material to the spiritual dimension. There are three verses from the Brahma Sanghita. The first of these verses is well known to you, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabis. I will give you a summary. It means, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure. She is the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her sakis, the embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. Just as a brief summary, so our minds are directed to the spiritual world where Radha and Krishna are there, associated with the gopis, and in this scene, Radha and Krishna on the throne, the gopis serving them. This is how we are first trained. Then, after the goal is clear, the journey starts. We start in the mundane world. Above the mundane world, what do you find above the mundane world? The Devi Dham. When you leave the Devi Dham, you find Sada Shiva Loka, Mahesh Dham. And then above Mahesh Dham, what is above Sada Shiva's place? Hari Dham. What is Hari Dham? The Vaikuntha world, where Lord Narayan is on the many Narayan planets, Vaikuntha planets. And above this is a beautiful lotus flower. And inside the lotus, there's Radha and Krishna. It's a spiritual planet, which is called Goloka Dham, the planet of the cows, where Lord Krishna is. And then, in the last of the three verses, we find a wonderful description of this Goloka Dham. We find that the earth of Goloka Dham is made of what? Chintamani. It's a wish-fulfilling stone. This stone is so powerful that all wishes of the residents, that all what one could desire is fulfilled. I was sometimes thinking about it. There was once a king, I think he is a Greek king, King Medias. Medias? King Medias. Meda? King Meda, King Meda, Meda, King Meda obtained the blessing that almost a touchstone blessing. Everything he would touch would turn into gold. But he was not happy with this blessing because, in the beginning he touched some iron and it became gold, Hare Krishna. So he was very happy. But then, when it was time to eat, they brought him his food, and he touched the food, and ping! It was gold. First he thought, wonderful, a golden samosa. But when he ate it, oops, it was very bad. Then his beloved queen came to him, and King Medius, don't touch me, don't touch me. His king, queen, thought this is a new love game, ran after the poor king, and the king started run away and ran into the shumi, and his queen came after him and finally touched him and turned into gold. He was very frustrated. what to do with a golden puppet. You can't even talk to her properly. Then, and this was what broke the king's determination, was his little boy came and jumped on the lap and became gold, a golden doll. So in this way, this touchstone blessing was not very nice. But don't forget, in the spiritual world, the touchstone is very nice, because it is a Chintamani stone. It is full of conscience. The spiritual world is full of consciousness, eternal consciousness. And everything there, which the touchstone gives, can be used in the supreme conscious entity, Lord Krishna. It is not like a touchstone in this world. It is described that that the water there is nectar. It is nectar in many ways, and every word is a song. Every step is a dance. You feel like dancing all the time. But it is the best of dance. Every step you do there is the best of your dance. Have you ever danced in this world properly? We usually just hobble back and forth. But there are some very nice dances which when you come to Vrindavan, you can see in the evening when the rich Bhasis come out to dance and glorify Krishna. Everything is there, just elegant dance. The flute is always present. That means you can always hear the flute. The flute is of Lord Krishna, is explained in the Shastra. When Lord Krishna, Krishna's heart is full of love, and when he plays on his flute, that love from his heart comes through his lips to the flute and then goes all over the country of Vrindavan. It's a love song which you hear, which touches you all the time. The love of God for his devotees. It is said that the cows there always emit transcendental oceans of milk. in other words, everything is Svetadvip, means white, because it is flooded by the white milk of Krishna's cows. There is eternal existence of transcendental time, who's ever present and without past or future. In this way, the mind always takes us somewhere else. this is called material life. So, there is constantly the transcendental time does not pass there. There is not, everything is there. The varieties of time appear to satisfy Krishna. Yes. So these are the first three verses of the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas. They bring us to the transcendental platform, and then come general descriptions and glorifications of Vrindavan. Then come different forms of life in Braj, in order of increasing importance, who all got the mercy of the Lord. It starts with the clouds. Clouds of Vrindavan are described, how they are, and how they get the mercy of Krishna, how they serve Lord Krishna. Then the rivers are described, how they serve Krishna and how Krishna bathes in them. The trees and creepers are described, and how Krishna climbs on the trees with his lotus feet, and the trees begin to blossom. uh, cranes are described, swans, birds, deers, cows, bulls, and finally it goes always higher. Then comes the Aborigine woman. Do you know what is an Aborigine? They are not cultured. They did not go to any education, but they love Krishna very much. They are the Pulindas. Then you hear about the Gopas. Then you hear about Nanda and Yashoda. And you hear about the Gopis finally. This is how the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas take us through everything in Vrindavan, including the ground, the grass, the rivers, and so on, to Lord Krishna. Before we start now with some specific shlokas which we have looked at, I want to read to you from this purport of Srila Prabhupada about these attractions to Lord Krishna. The typical examples of such attraction are found in Vrindavan, where everything and everyone is attracted by Krishna. The elderly persons like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, the friends like Sridham, Sudham, and the other cowherd boys, the gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates, and even the birds, beasts, cows and calves are attracted. The flowers and fruits in the gardens are attracted. Yeah, you will not believe it, but the flowers, they are desiring so much to be picked by the gopis and used in a garland for Lord Krishna. Even the fruits are meditating in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, welcome. Even the fruits are meditating about in Vrindavan, how they want to serve Lord Krishna. Prabhupada once, or Najiva Goswami, he once gave a very, very interesting analysis how even the unconscious, seemingly unconscious beings, like the milk, is attracted to serve Krishna in Vrindavan. You remember, when Lord Krishna was very young, he would always leave the house of Mother Yashoda and he would go to the houses of the cowherd boys to steal butter, cowherd men to steal butter. Sometimes the man of the house would catch Krishna and he would say, "You thief," but Krishna would smile at him and said, "I'm not a thief, you are a thief." He would be behaving like this. Sometimes Lord Krishna would enter into the houses of the gopis, and the gopis were just waiting for Lord Krishna to come because they hoped so much that Krishna would steal their butter. And one gopi saw this particular sweet scene. Krishna was moving in the house, going to the butter and eating the butter, and all of a sudden he saw his own reflection in the pillar of a house. He immediately thought, "Oh, there's another boy, and he will now, he has watched me, and he will see me, he has seen me, and what he will do, he will go to the gopis and complain about me." So he said, "Don't complain about me, you have not seen anything." And he took the butter and gave it to his reflection. "Here, take." And he smeared the jewel pillar with butter because he wanted to have to silence the boy so that he wouldn't say anything. "You have also eaten butter, you cannot say now anything." So these things became, there were many, many such very nice pastimes of Lord Krishna, but it became to such an extent that finally Mother Yashoda was informed, and Mother Yashoda told Krishna, "You can't always do this. Is our butter not good enough? Don't you get good butter from us?" Krishna just smiled at his mother. His idea was he didn't need the butter, He needed the love of his devotees, which was manifested in the butter. The devotees would churn the butter and think, oh, when will Govinda come and steal my butter? It was nothing else than a manifestation of their love in the heart. Lord Krishna was really stealing the hearts by stealing the butter. He was accepting the loving service of his dear devotees. Yashoda said, I will now take care that our butter is so good that you will not even like to leave our house. She handpicked 12 cows. They're called the Padmagandini cows. They eat lotus flowers and herbs, and they become, actually they don't eat lotus flowers, they eat special herbs, and their milk smells like lotus flowers. It's so extremely nice. Therefore, Padma Gandini, the smell of Padma. And Mother Yashoda took that milk of that cows and boiled it in an oven. On an oven. So while the milk was burning, little Gopal was screaming to get the milk of his mother. Yashoda came and left the milk on the stove and took her son and breastfed him. And when Krishna opened his tiny little mouth, Mother Yashoda saw some new teeth had come, and she was smiling happily. Teeth like little pearls, and on the edge they were sometimes a little reddish, the teeth. So she very happily breastfed him. Now the milk, which we will now call Shri milk or Srimata milk, Srimata milk, she saw that Krishna was drinking the milk of Mother Yashoda. She saw Mother Yashoda has endless love for her little child, and therefore she will have endless milk. And because Krishna can endlessly accept the love of all his devotees, he will most probably just drink and drink, and then he will not drink me, the milk. So Srimati milk thought, this is too much. My whole life is only worthwhile if it serves Lord Krishna. But now I will not be able to serve Lord Krishna. What is the use of this life? And she started to boil over and throw herself in the fire to commit suicide. If you think the milk boiled over, you have made a very, very substantial mistake. The milk did not boil over. It committed suicide by throwing itself in the fire. This is the correct understanding. Please free your mind from this mistake that the milk boiled over in Vrindavan. It threw itself in the fire to commit suicide. So this is an example where you can see that this, even the seemingly unconscious beings in Vrindavan, like milk or in the river, are fully conscious entities who want to serve Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada continues in his purport. The flowers, fruits in the gardens are attracted, the waves of the Yamuna are attracted, and the land, sky, trees, plants, animals, and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan. Just contrary to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world, where no one is attracted by Krishna and everyone is attracted by Maya. This is the difference between the spiritual and material worlds. Then here Prabhupada gives you a very nice means how you can find out if you're in the spiritual or in the material consciousness. When your consciousness is attracted to material things, you are in the material consciousness. When your consciousness is attracted to spiritual thinks you are in the spiritual world, that you are in Krishna consciousness. Please apply this test. Then Prabhupada talks about a typical resident of the material world, Hiranyakashipu, who was attracted by woman and money. And then he says, Hiranyakashipu therefore needed purification. So we all will go through this Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas now, in order to purify our minds and learn the art to become attracted to Krishna. The first verse which we will deal with today is from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 35. It's a wonderful shloka which we will read to you. What did we say? 10, 14, 35. So we will now enter into it here. What I want to do is, I want to read these shlokas to you, and then I will explain them a little bit. And after we have explained them, what we will do is, we will try to meditate about these verses. It's a verse meditation. Yeah? Please, in the beginning, just listen to the shloka. And then, when I explain the shloka, you might like to take notes to help you concentrate. And then after this, we will close our senses and we will meditate about the content. We will do this with every shloka which we will discuss today. It will be very, very nice. This first shloka which we will discuss was spoken by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had seen that the demoness Putana had come dressed as a beautiful lady to the house of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. It was not uncommon during that time of Krishna's appearance that sometimes demigoddesses would come from the heavenly planets in order to visit little Krishna. And this lady, Putana, looked just so beautiful. She had wonderfully kept hair, her face was ornamented, her breasts were very full and attractive, and her belly very small, and her hips very wide. And she looked so attractive, she even held a lotus flower. Some rich Parsis thought, this is the goddess of fortune who has come to see our Krishna. They felt very happy. Now this lady entered, and when Lord Krishna saw her, he immediately understood the murderous intention of this lady. She had come to kill him. She had smeared her breasts with the most dangerous poison, and she was about to breastfeed him, and in this way pushed the poison into his mouth. When Krishna saw this, he just closed the eyes, because now the first demon he would kill was a woman. Krishna closed the eyes. Then he opened the eyes again. And Krishna just, I don't want to kill this demon who has come to kill me. Look, said Krishna, was thinking, she's now freeing her breast so that she can feed me. And she's pretending to smile at me, but I can see the demon behind the smile. It's a witch who wants to. So Krishna took the breast, took the nipple,
and started to suck out not only the poison, not only the milk, but the whole prana. The demoness was forced to come to her real form, which was the form of a 16-kilometer long monster. 16 kilometers, that's very long. It's from here to Sarajevo. It's a really long. 16? Oh, something like that. Very long, and she was crying, leave me, leave me, leave me, child. And Krishna just happily then she ran out of the village of Vrindavan. Luckily she went out, you know, imagine she would have destroyed the whole village. And then crash, she fall on the ground and took many trees with her into her death. Hare Krishna. And then the inhabitants of Vrindavan, when they finally came to see this demon, they saw two things. They saw how all of a sudden the soul of Putana was going higher and higher. It was brilliant. It was purified from all the demon qualities which Krishna had sucked out. And this demoness was going back home, back to Godhead in the eternal Vrindavan, where she is one of the vet nurses of Yashoda. Do you know what a vet nurse is? A woman, you know, in German they are called Amme. These are ladies who also have motherly feelings for the child, and they will also help breastfeed the child, who in this way drinks a lot of milk from her mother and these vet nurses.
Doyle.
The Doyle, it's called. Yes, something like that. Brahma could understand all this, and with great ecstasy, he now says, you will say something in a moment. My mind becomes bewildered. Just trying to think, a little softer the music, please. My mind becomes bewildered. Just trying to think of what reward other than you, my Lord, could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. She's only in disguise a devotee. So what is left for you to give to these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? So this is a question of Lord Brahma with which we will start our meditation. To Putana, who was a demon, Krishna gave liberation and made her doyle. Doyle-ya. Her doyle-ya. Yes? Something like this. So what will Krishna give to these devotees of Vrindavan who have given everything to him, their lives and their hearts? Krishna might have asked Lord Brahma how he, who is all power, successful could ever become insolvent. Do you know what is insolvent? When you have not enough money for what is asked for. You know. But insolvent, not able to pay back. Yeah. So he is all powerful, but Brahma still thinks you have given everything to Putana. I mean, don't these devotees deserve more of you? And how will you give more? You have already given yourself to Putana. He's totally perplexed. It's a big issue for him. He can't solve this. And he feels the devotion of the Vrajvasis deserves a much better remuneration than the hatred of the demons. Now, if Krishna has already given himself to this demon Putana and he's there sucking her breasts happily, what will he give to these devotees? You know, Krishna was not only merciful to Putana, he was even merciful to the relatives to Putana. Do you know that Putana had a demon brother, two demon brothers? They came later and were killed by Krishna. Bakasura, who had this big beak, and tried to pick Krishna and kill him. And Agasura, who was Agasura? The big snake, yes. Monster snake, not just some small snake like you will find freezing in the forest of Sarajevo, but a huge Agasura snake. They came in contact with Krishna because they were relatives to Putana. Putana had been killed by Lord Krishna, then the two brothers said, "We will take revenge," and they became liberated. So now, let us think a little. Let us meditate a little on the mercy which Krishna gave to Putana. Putana was only disguised like a devotee, like I am also only disguised as a devotee. She was not a real devotee. She was disguised only. Uddhava talks about this. He says, "How shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast?" Now, you must know that Putana's Leela is the first merciful Leela of Lord Krishna on this planet. The pastime is very attractive to the devotees because when they hear about this pastimes, they begin to think, "I also have a chance. Maybe I'm also disguised like a devotee. Maybe I'm not a real devotee also. Maybe my sikha is just a nice ornamentation and my zari is a good dress and my tilak is a witz because I don't think of Krishna always." But Krishna takes even pretenders. So the devotees begin to feel extremely happy when they hear this Leela, thinking that they have a chance. Do you understand? Therefore, Krishna's first Leela is a super mercy Leela. So that she came like, "Oh, Krishna." And she had some total different motive in her mind. And in this way, the devotees are dancing up and down when they hear how Krishna killed the Putana. Because here we hear that our disqualifications are not taken in account. only the one qualification is taken in account, that we have come to Krishna. Putana had one qualification. She had come to Krishna. You must admit this. This was the only qualification she had. The devotees meditate about the mercy of Lord Krishna. There is a very nice verse by Rupa Goswami. It goes like this. O destroyer of the demon Agasura, my heart is in flames with despair when I hear of the difficult spiritual practices of saints of old like Shukadev and Ambarish, for I am totally without devotion. The devotee says, when I hear about Shukadev Goswami leaving his 16 years home, when I hear about the king Ambarish, who had so much to do, he was a king, but he would use his time to serve the Lord in the temple. Hare Krishna. Then I feel I have no chance. But when I hear from the scriptures and the sadhus that the waves of your compassion are flowing towards everyone, from Brahma down to the lowliest creature, the drops of nectarian hope cool my heart and pacify it. Now, when I hear that your mercy is going even to the lowest creatures, like Putana, then I think nada is realistic for me. I can have some nada. This is how a devotee thinks. So, a devotee in this world will always meditate when he thinks of Krishna on the quality of his mercy. This is, of all the 64 qualities of Krishna, his bhakta, being bhakta vatsala, the friend, the merciful friend of his devotees, is most important for us in this world. Because if we think about our qualification, Zashka, then we cannot find so many. Isn't it? Not very many we can find. But when we hear that only by approaching Lord Krishna, Krishna is already so mercifully inclined towards his devotees, then the devotee says, there is hope. There is a very nice understanding that Krishna has one compassionate side, on compassionate nature. Who knows the compassionate side or nature of Krishna? Shrimati Radharani. She is even most compassionate. Once Vrinda Devi told Purnamasi, O Devi, someone as compassionate as Radha cannot be found. One day she saw a newly born calf and saw how this calf had its mouth pierced by a blade of grass. When Radharani saw that there was this blade of grass, it must have been dry grass inside the mouth, she began shedding tears of compassion. She went personally to the calf and smeared the lips of the calf with kumkuma. This is turmeric. Is it turmeric? Turmeric, yes. Now, Jiva Goswami comments on this Leela, how Radharani took care even of a little calf who suffered. He says, the calf was born to one of Krishna's favorite cows. So, Radha is usually more compassionate to someone or something who pleases and serves Krishna. See, for the non-devotee, he will not come so easily in contact with the mercy of Radharani. But anyone who is connected in devotional service to Krishna will have a good chance to become an object of the mercy of Radharani. And he has the right to ask and directly approach Krishna's most compassionate nature. Yes. But be it as it wants, Krishna is very merciful, either directly or through Srimati Radharani. We hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita some very nice prayers for Lord Krishna's mercy, and I would like to give you the prayers to pray. They were prayed by Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, and they were talking about that they were felt very disqualified, and they said, "My dear Lord, we are like dwarfs who want to capture the moon. This is an impossible task for a dwarf to capture the moon. We are like dwarfs who wish to capture the moon if we want to obtain your mercy, because we are so utterly disqualified. But you have come in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu to give mercy to the most disqualified, and therefore we are qualified, because we are most disqualified, like dwarfs who want to capture the moon." I cannot give you this very nice prayer, but I want to read to you another prayer. Gaurahari, can you bring my Shastra back, please? There's one song, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. It's a song where devotees pray for the mercy of Lord Krishna. I want to request all of you to find nice prayers in your life where you can obtain the mercy of Krishna. Oh, the key. There's one very nice prayer to Lord Krishna. Jayatam surato pango mama mandamatir gati matsavasva padambojo shishirada madana mohano. The devotee prays, "I am lame and I am ill advised. I have the wrong information. But I am turning to you, Shishirada Madan Mohan, because you are the Lord of the fallen." In this world, if you want to enter the palace of bhakti, you have to go through the door of humility. If you cannot go find this door of humility in your lives, a humble approach where you pray for Lord Krishna's mercy, the palace of bhakti will always be locked, closed for you. You will be outside licking on it like a bee from the outside who licks on the honey glass. There are very nice prayers for Lord Krishna's mercy. Ach, Gaurahari, you are so well-intentioned, but you never listen. It's all right. It's something else we wanted. It's all right. Yes. Now the question which I want to discuss at the very end, it remains. Is there anything which Krishna can give the Vrajvasis, which is more than himself? Because that is the original question of Lord Brahma. This is something for our intelligent Brahmanas. Daksha, is there anything you can think of which Krishna could give the Vrajvasis? Because he has given himself to Putana. So the question is, what will he give to the residents of Vrindavan? I know I couldn't also answer this question. Yes, this is the Shastra Bag. Since 1 year you know it as a Shastra Bag. Careful that you know. Oh, now you brought all the bags.
I'm sorry.
Anyone? Yes, Daksha has an answer. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what? Yes, so we are still looking. What?
Love for himself.
Love for himself?
More of his service for him.
More service for him.
Dust from the lotus feet.
What?
Which dust? From
dust from lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. We go through all the priceless nectar. Yes, Radha Kripa.
So Krishna says that since he cannot repay to them in any way, that they have to take as a repay the pleasure that they find in the service for him.
So since he cannot repay the Vrijbasis, he says they have to take and repay the service which they do for him. Service or what? Maybe he can give them love and separation from himself. You're all very learned scholars of the Vaishnava philosophy. There was once this question of Lord Brahma was once also discussed in Vrindavan between the gopis and Krishna. The gopis had actually asked Krishna what kind of lover he is for leaving them. First he calls them to the rasa dance, and when they come, he just disappears. What kind of lover are you? And they gave him three alternatives. It was a multiple choice question. And they really thought the right answer which Krishna should... They didn't want to say it, you are ungrateful. But they thought if Krishna is at least logical, he will have to make the cross. I'm an ungrateful lover, that no matter how much I get, I am just ungrateful. So the gopis didn't want to accuse Krishna directly, but they wanted Krishna to admit that he is really incapable in matters of love, and he should just say it. He should be honest about it. And then Krishna did the typical Krishna answer. He said, I'm none of the three. He escaped the logic of the gopis. He said, see, the reason why I disappeared from you was only to increase your love for me. Because only by this love one can obtain Lord Krishna. So more than Krishna himself is even love of Krishna. I think you must agree with this even from your level of Krishna consciousness. You can see the most beautiful picture of Krishna. You can stand before the most beautiful deities of Lord Krishna. If you have no love in your heart, then this all doesn't say anything to you. You can be in the most wonderful class about Krishna's pastime. If there is absolutely no love for Krishna in your heart, you feel so bored that you think, what terrible mistake did I make to come to this class? It is an unpardonable mistake. I should sleep now. You need love of Krishna to taste Krishna. You need also love of Krishna to taste his holy name. You need love of Krishna to be immersed. So what devotees want, they don't say, Krishna, we want you to appear before us, and so on. The devotees will say, we want love. To make it more simple. I have the most wonderful glass of water here, but if I don't have any thirst, what will I do with the water? Huh? Bhakti Granta, I will just pour it away and it will become ice. But if there's thirst? The water will come into my life and make my life pleasant and watery. So Brahma had this question, and I will now read to you as a song on Krishna's mercy. Oh, it would be nice if we would have made photocopies, but I forgot to ask for this. The song is very nice. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Mana Mana Samaduka Mapaya Nijapada Pankaja Makarande Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Yadyapi Samadishu Vidyapi Pashyati Natavana Kakramarichim Idamichami Nisham Yatavachuta Tadapi Kripat Putavichim. O Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Bhakti Udanchati Yadyapi Madhava Natvai Mamatila Matri Parameshvarata Tadapita Vadika Dugata Gatana Vidatri Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. Yes. It means, O Bhagavan Shri Krishna, I'm offering prayers to you. Please, let the bee of my mind be offered the nectarian honey of your lotus feet. In other words, please let it have a taste of those lotus feet so that it will then never be attracted to anything else. Huh? So the devotee wants this love of Krishna so that he can think of Krishna and be with Krishna. And then he says, the devotee thinks, although Brahma, in full samadhi, cannot catch a glimpse of even a ray of the effulgence from the tips of your toenails, still, hey Achyuta, having heard of the waves of your astonishing mercy, I long to receive your grace. See, the devotee is like this. He thinks in the next verse, although I don't possess even a sesame seed of bhakti for you, still by your inconceivable power, which makes the impossible possible, please fulfill the desires of my heart. And you know, why can a devotee pray for Krishna's mercy? Because he knows Krishna is most merciful, even to Putana. He has purified Putana and given her residence in the eternal spiritual world. So he has also a hope. This is the first verse which we have discussed. It's a verse on Krishna's mercy. We will now, I want you to listen to the verse again. You will not take any notes, but you will just try to think what you have heard. No? My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? So we know the answer. Krishna can give his devotee the love for him so that the devotees can relish Lord Krishna with love. Dear devotees, this is such a very, very deep point. We hear from Bhaktivinoda. Now this morning I was chanting before the deities of Gonitai, and I was thinking very deeply that we actually feel or see that the Lord has appeared in our midst as Gonitai. By the way, it's not good to put a peacock feather on Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada said on Lord Chaitanya we can do because he is Krishna, but only Krishna has a peacock feather, not Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda will never dare to dress in a peacock feather because it's the exclusive ornament of Lord Krishna. Yeah? Like maybe there's an ornament which you only one of us has here. No. Yes, so we don't dare to imitate. No one would dare to imitate Lord Krishna. But later the pujari can take a natural time and not so dramatic. I mean, it's also not a problem. It's not really a problem. That Lord Balaram can also. Why not? Sometimes maybe he has just stolen the peacock feather to make a joke, to wave with peacock feathers. It's So I was sitting before the deities, and thinking about that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda has appeared in our midst. Simultaneously, I was thinking, have I really realized this? I mean, I came in this morning and I didn't even look at the deities. I paid my obeisances, didn't even look at the deities. And then I remembered something which I helped me very much, and I want to relate it to you this morning also. There are three ways of seeing the deities, and only when you take one of these ways, you can actually see the deity. Otherwise, you will not see the deity. The first way is the way of a materialist, material seeing, where you only see the form of the deity, and you think it's matter. Like sometimes devotees ask, what are the deities made out? And this is the first way of seeing the deity. And they want to hear brass, marble, or whatever. This is the first way where you can't really see Krishna. The second way is the way of the intellectual people, the jnani, who sees the deity as a symbolic representation of God. I often give the example, here in Bosnia we have also the postal people, and their symbol for the post is usually a horn. Boop, boop. Is it in Bosnia also? Yeah, post. I think it is universal. So the intellectuals see, well, this is giving us an idea of what the Lord is like. And I find out many times, I think we are also seeing the deity in this way. We see him not as Krishna directly, but we see him more as a representative of Krishna. It gives an idea how God is, how Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur reminded us, there's only one way to see the deities, and that is through the eyes of Bhava, of love. That the devotee stands before the deities and says, here is my Lord, and he prays to the deities. Then the deities will reveal themselves. Who has made this experience when you sometimes stand before Radha Madan Mohan and you really feel, oops, I somehow survived the night. I'm now here, have my darshan. And you feel for a moment, this is Krishna. Especially, I think, when you come to Goloka Dham and see Radha Madan Mohan, they're so beautiful. And Manjulali is just such a wonderful pujari. I mean, I think Madan Mohan will take her by the hand and pull her back to Godhead at the end of her life. He's a very advanced devotee by now. When you see with love, you will be able to see Lord Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, this is what I wanted to tell to you. And now I see we have 20 more minutes. I thought we will end today at 1 o'clock. Was it 1 o'clock? And then we will walk a little so that we get this nice oxygen in our bodies. Some of you are still very tired, and I can understand. I'm also. I hope I don't infect you with my tiredness. We need to walk now a little bit, and you know, and that will be very good for us if you want. But if some of you would like to rest, that's also fully all right. That's fully all right. I will not go now up till 1 o'clock like I wanted. Maybe there are some questions, because questions is a very nice session. I also wanted to say, we have made such good experiences in our summer camps with the magical basket, that we want to institute this also here. Magical basket means you can ask questions which you ordinarily may not like to ask in the public, but it should be, I mean, I don't want to give the impression magical basket means to only ask candid questions. But it can be deep spiritual questions which are about your own spiritual spiritual progress. Like you can ask Sachinanda Swami, tell us please very honestly, what makes the process of Krishna consciousness work, and what does it, what we have to avoid? Such very deep and personal questions, you will be able to write them down, and then we will put them in a basket. We still have to find a basket, I think. We have. Sorry? Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow it will, from tomorrow onwards it's available, and you can throw your questions in there. And then on Thursday evening, when we will have a wonderful cultural evening with theater and everything, then we will also have the magical basket. It will be a very colorful evening. So you can already think of questions. But if there are questions now regarding these subjects, you can ask them now. Mahaprabhu?
Yeah. She had attraction towards Vamanadeva, and she wanted to somehow nourish him or something.
Yeah.
Is it that kind of
Putana got special mercy. There is some past life influence in her. That is a fact, yes. Mahaprabhu remembers in this connection that already in a previous life, as the daughter is of Bali Maharaj, Putana's name at that time was Ratnavali. She was a little girl, and she saw this little boy, the dwarf. He was just proper size for her, because she was so little, but very beautiful. And she, I would like to. No, she was actually not so little. Actually, it's wrong. She was quite big. She wanted to be like a mother. Yes, like a mother. She apparently had already the ability to produce milk in her breasts, and she wanted to hold him and breastfeed him. But later, when she saw how Vamana how Brahmana took everything away from her father, she thought, too much? Yes, I want to come close to you as your mother, but then I will kill you for this, because you have taken everything away. Vamana looked very, very beautiful. You must know, when he was on his way to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, he was just the little dwarf. He had a very nice little belly and an umbrella, and looked extremely optimistic and wonderful. And so when he came to a river, there was on the other side a brahmana, and this brahmana had meditated since many lifetimes about him as Lord Vamanadev. And he thought, Vamanadev saw him and thought, he is my devotee, wonderful, I will bless him today. He said, I'm very small, I cannot come through the water. Can you please come over and carry me? The brahmana saw this little person who looked so sweet, with his umbrella, that he said, sure, just wait a moment. And he waded through the river and took Vamanadev like this, his two little feet on his hands, and he walked. So Vamanadev, they came to the middle of the river. Vamanadev put his hand around the head of his Brahmana devotee. The Brahmana devotee felt so ecstatic. And as he was continuing to carry him, he noted, this is my Lord! And he began to feel the feet. Yes, there are all the impressions on the soles of his feet. You can feel. And he was totally ecstatic to hold his Lord. He said, my Lord, don't disguise yourself any longer. I know you are my Lord Vamanadev. No, said Vamanadev, I am just a poor brahmana. I'm a little short by nature. Please, just carry me over. See, he had a mission. He didn't want to be known as Vishnu when he entered the sacrificial arena. He wanted to be known just as an ordinary little brahmana. So he would try to stop his devotee from seeing him, because the devotee might run around and tell, I've seen my lord. And then when Vamanadev would come, his whole trick wouldn't work, to ask for 3 steps of land. But the devotee can see his Lord always by the eyes of Baba, the eyes of love. You can see Krishna, not in any other way. So he said, I know you are the Lord. If you don't reveal yourself to me, I will drown. Together with Vamanadev said, all right. And he revealed his beautiful transcendental form. And he said, but don't tell it to Bali Maharaj or anyone else. I have something in mind. I want to take the whole universe from him. So please, by asking for 3 steps of land, I will make such big steps that everything will be covered by my steps. So he was very beautiful. So Ratnavali, I think was her name, saw him and fell in love, as a mother feels in love with a little child. And later, cursed him. So you might, your question, I think, is not just, you're not concerned with this pastime, but can we actually feel attraction to Krishna like Bhutana when we have no previous lifetime connection? Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who have acted piously in this life and in a previous life and in this life, they can get devotional service. Yesham tvantagatam papam jnananam punyakamanam. And Lord Krishna, Rupa Goswami, he also says that most properly to go back to Godhead is not a one lifetime affair. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is reported to have said, I've never read it, but it sounds so logic, that the normal devotee needs 3 lives to go back to Godhead. In the first life, he chants with offenses the holy name, Nama Parad, like me. And the second life form, he begins to understand he must avoid the offenses and chants on the Nama Basa platform, purifying platform. On the third life, he chants Shodhanam. This is the pure name. This is the ordinary progress for the devotee. But with Krishna's mercy, everything is possible. And there are many, many examples in the Shastra which tell us how persons, even with Agyata Sukriti, make so much advancement in one lifetime, Mahaprabhu. Remember this one bird who was hunted by a fox. The fox caught her and ran 3 times around the temple with this poor bird who died in the mouth of the fox. Then that bird, because Krishna thought he has circumambulated my temple, went back, got liberation. It's my firm conviction that anyone who stays in the Krishna consciousness movement, provided he has gotten his initiations in this and stays there, will go back to God. Because Prabhupada wrote this in the early days to all of his disciples. I also have such a letter. Prabhupada just wrote, I'm very, very happy about your donation of 10 Nemechka Marker. I gave him, I had collected 10 German marks with my own endeavor. And Prabhupada said, I'm so happy with this. I will engage it in Krishna's service. You are a very intelligent boy. I had written him a question. I said, I would so much like to preach like you, Prabhupada. But whenever I preach, everyone gets disturbed, gets up and leaves. What can I do? Prabhupada said, you are not me. This is the difference. And then he also said, but it will come. Hoiche, hoiche. Because I was a young, fanatic devotee. And then he said, you will, if you just follow the 4 rules and regulations and chant 16 rounds every day without stoppage, you will go back to Godhead. The reason why I think Prabhupada could say such a thing is because he counted very much on the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is therefore the most fallen. And now we know that for many devotees to chant every day 16 rounds, you know, when I look at our older devotees, they have, it is, and follow four rules and regulations the rest of the life, it seems to not be so entirely easy, because Maya will attack us and put so many doubts in our mind that, oh no, this is not good and that is not good, let us also not be good, and so on. Maya is also very intense. Hare Krishna. It's nice that the first Leela is a mercy Leela, isn't it? She was only disguised as a devotee. Prabhus, we have a chance. Nakshati smiles. It's very good, isn't it? Yeah, very good. If you think about this, very good. Do you have any... No, now we have 6 minutes before the end. We will end earlier. We will all assemble... we thought 15 minutes after from now, outside. Please be dressed if you want to come, and please be dressed in winter clothing. But it seems to be extremely warm, isn't it? Not extremely, but quite warm. You will not freeze. And then we will go, and when we are gone, I want to teach you some very nice exercises which will energize you so much that you can fly. They're very powerful key exercises to make you awakened. So in 15 minutes we meet, and then under the able guidance of our pathfinders, we will simply walk and talk. We will stop a few times and so on. Good. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very, very much for your kind patience. I hope it's interesting. It gets more and more nectarian, so please don't stop coming. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.